Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to DAVE, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles and the Big Apple, the Big LA and New York, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, caregiverdave.com, coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 14 global audio and video platforms. And you might want to know what some of those platforms are. Okay, I'll tell you. iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet Radio, and Facebook Live on my site, Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And if any of you are out there, feel free to call in with your questions. We have an amazing guest today, Tomisa Lydon.
I said that. Right.
Yeah. Downsizing expert, author, and senior real estate specialist. This is the girl that you need to see or talk to when you are dealing with issues of your loved one shouldn't be living alone anymore. Maybe they need to be in independent living. Maybe they need to be in assisted living. Maybe they need to be in a nursing home. But something has to happen, and she's the one who does the magic to make it happen. So let's get started. But before I do, I want to take this moment and thank my last week's guest, Carol Marek. No, our last week's guest, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week was Adrian and me, me and Adrian, and we were taking calls and we were just talking about all the things that caregivers complain about, and there are so many. And you can watch or listen to that interview on all of our global platforms or on my membership site, caregiverdave.com. So let's get to my guest, Tomisa Lydon of Smart Living for Seniors. That's a great name. How to make the best of the rest. That's a great tagline.
That's what we're all out to do, right?
Yes. She's a concierge, I think I said that word right, realtor with RE/MAX Excalibur in Scottsdale, Arizona, and founder of Lydon Senior Pathways, a frequent speaker on national real estate and relocation and NASDAQ, Harvard Club of Boston, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox TV. Gosh, she sounds like me. News and talk shows. Lydon, a senior real estate specialist, SRES, that's what that stands for, and downsizing expert, provides comprehensive one-stop relocation planning, move management, and real estate services, specializing in listing, selling, and purchasing properties for seniors. That's her specialty, in the process of downsizing to enjoy their next quote-unquote living chapter of life. I like the way that sounds. So without further ado, Tomisa, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation. I'm happy to be here.
Great. And just talk as loud as you can. You're a little on the light side.
You are okay. Too, Dave.
How about now?
Better.
Okay, we should all get our hearing checked, I think. Okay, Tomisa, take a minute or two and introduce yourself. I like to ask my guests, just who is Tomisa Lydon? I almost said London. And why was she put on this earth? Go ahead. It's your mic. Speak into the microphone.
Okay, is this loud enough?
Yes,
can
that's
you hear
good.
Me?
Thank
all right.
You.
I am an Air Force brat and fit that mold very well. I've been moving around the country and across the street and around the block for my entire life. So moving isn't that traumatic to me, if you will, because it was my lifetime experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a designer in my past world, had a design business, so it kind of ties in very well with my relocating seniors and planning their smaller or downsizing floor plan with all their stuff.
The interior design?
Yes. Interior design, yes. Well, so that's kind of my background in how I can help seniors through real estate and design and helping them just make the best of the rest.
You do seem like an expert, and you served in the armed services, so that makes you a veteran.
I didn't serve.
You were a brat.
She was a brat.
I was a brat.
Your parents.
I married an Air Force guy.
Oh, you married? Okay. I got it.
A brat. I married an Air Force guy. I have a son that went into the Marines. I have a sister and brother-in-law that were military. And
wow.
Son. So, yeah, we go way back in the veteran world, but I did not serve.
Well, that means you dodged the bullet, which is a good trait to have. So I think I told you this, but Adrian is probably one of your clients, or should be, because she's about to downsize. I know you're both on opposite ends of the country, but I'm sure we're going to get a lot of good advice, because not everybody's in Arizona and can actually sign you up to list their Arizona property. But you're such a sweetheart. Your number one concern, I know, is just helping people, and you'll give free advice, because you know what comes around goes around, and that karma will always come back and kiss you right on the lips if necessary. So let's start. Adrian, give me some of your concerns, because I bet you these are typical concerns for people in your position, a former caregiver perhaps. Maybe.
My situation is not what Tamitha said she is focused on. She's really looking at seniors who are looking to move out of their houses and into facilities, I think. Is that
so the
correct?
Actual care receivers then?
Not entirely, Adrian. It is it's an assessment of each individual.
Okay.
So relocating seniors can be moving into a smaller, more manageable home, which is what many of them want to do.
Right.
And or condos, apartments, or the need sometimes is to move into an independent community where they can graduate into assisted living, and maybe if they need memory care. So there's that full gamut of how that happens. But a lot of times it's just getting rid of the large, high maintenance home that has way too much stuff.
Like mine.
and get into a more manageable home. Clear the clutter, take your life back, and start enjoying life again.
Okay.
And don't forget, a lot of caregivers who are living in their loved one's home, maybe that is not working out anymore. So many caregivers need a caregiver. So there's a lot of people caring for someone who really needs someone caring for them. So perhaps caregiver and care receiver should think about selling that three-story home that needs gardening and, you know, maid service or whatever that's dusty all the time. And maybe they should all go into perhaps independent living, you know, where there's a community around them and they can kind of have people watching over them. Am I right, Tomisa?
That is for some people. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
So it becomes where the consultation, in the consultation, we discuss what the needs are, what the future end game might be, how much space they need, do they need an in-home caregiver, are they able to afford to pay an in-home caregiver if they're in a large home that is eating up a lot of their funds. So it becomes the personal variables and their needs. So what I do is create a plan that works for whatever their needs might be. And some of them do want the community to move into for camaraderie and that type of thing. But some people still want to be in a smaller home that they can maintain with their caregiver.
Is reverse mortgage ever in your equation as well?
It is always in the equation.
Because you can pull money out.
And again, that also becomes a variable. It depends on someone's portfolio. It depends on their variables. Now, I always will bring in, if they do not have a financial advisor that has a reverse mortgage person that they trust and like and can refer, I will refer some reverse mortgage people to clients or prospective clients so that they can at least get all the lay of the land. So that they can understand and realize this could be for me. It may not be for everybody, but there are a lot of myths out there and fake news about reverse mortgages that really need to be debunked because it can be a really, really good program for many people. It just depends on the individual.
And does your conversation frequently speak about getting qualified for Medicaid?
I don't typically do that, that aspect of it, but the team that I bring in play is anyone that can help them, elder law attorneys, financial advisors, those that work with Medicare and Medicaid and VA benefits. A lot of people have VA benefits that they're not really aware of.
Right.
So if they need to, assess all of the elements when they're deciding and trying to figure out what the next plan is so that they know what their financial options are.
Wow, you know, I don't know if you've done this or not, because I haven't spoken to you in great detail about this, but you should put together a global, not a global, a national team that, you know, where you become, in addition to what you do, because you have so much spare time, actually coach people on how they can do this, whether they're in New York or West Virginia or Alaska or Hawaii. Right?
Start franchises.
Yeah.
Such a great idea.
And I get 10%, remember.
Well, I can't forget that. I do align with other professionals in different areas because I'm not in all areas, and people hear about me and they want to get more information. So I can set them up with a real estate agent that can work with them that does senior real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And is an expert in that area, and basically putting the whole team of professionals together. So that is something that is on the horizon to make that bigger and more far-reaching, but it's definitely being done.
I knew it. So let's talk about you and how the caregiving equation works for you. Were you the daily caregiver for your parents, or what type of involvement did you have overall?
I was not the daily caregiver. I started doing what I do with widening senior pathways and relocating seniors and helping them make the best of the best because of my own personal experience with my parents when we ended up in a total crisis, which I know could have been avoided. Because we ended up in a crisis that could have been avoided, I just knew that there were more baby boomers like me out there that had the same concerns about their parents and for their parents' well-being, but yet had the same pushback that I got with my parents. My parents were not healthy. My mother was healthy as a horse until she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And my dad was not healthy. He was heart trouble, diabetes. He had several triple bypasses, he had stents, he had pacemakers, he had lung disorder, COPD. He was not a healthy specimen.
A lot wrong,
but
yeah.
You could look at him and think he was healthy because he
right.
just loved life, he laughed, he actually played racquetball. He was very, very involved in living that chapter of his life, no matter how long it would be. And he started having major health issues at age 47,
wow.
and he lived to be 82. But very, very active, laughed all the time, enjoyed fun stories, people, social life. And when that collapses, you start the decline. So some of that is a reason why I feel like if it's not fun, I'm done. That's always been my motto.
Right.
But as I age and as I see other parents of kids my age aging, I see them become isolated. And there is a lot of social activity that they really need to keep going
yep.
to live and thrive, not just survive. So no matter where they may move, you've got to keep all those aspects in place. But when my parents had the crisis, I got the last minute call and I had to jump a flight to get to Texas and uproot what I was doing and whatever business I had going on to care of my folks. I really thought I could do that in about 2 days. I packed for like 2-3 days and I ended up being in Texas. I'm in Arizona now and was then at the time. I ended up being at their home for almost 3 months.
Ah.
So, the navigation of the waters of this new senior transition was very difficult. And I saw a need for I was a real estate agent, and I was working because I live in Arizona. There are a lot of people that retire out here, so I had a lot of older clients, and I felt like I'm going to be more observant of what their needs are. and create something that can help them and also help their kids who may live across the country as well. So that's where this all started. And my sister lived closer, so she was the initial care, well, the everyday caregiver for my mom. But we did put my mom in a memory care community that was right down the street from my sister. And I went home as often as possible. But that was a duty I watched from afar, more so than being hands-on. And I saw how draining it could be and how guilt-ridden we can be as kids. And there has to be a better way. So in my world of real estate, I decided that people needed to plan ahead for that next living chapter of life, because we don't know when something could happen, if or when we get injured, accident, health issues, what have you. But if you have a plan in place, everybody knows what to do and how to do it. And it becomes less catastrophic, less crisis mode. So you're right. Working out of a plan that was already really designed by the parents. And if they knew they had health issues, like my dad had health issues, my mom was the greatest caregiver ever for him. He couldn't have asked for a better caregiver. But she gave up a lot of her life to do that. And, you know, I watched that through the years. But I believe that he couldn't have asked for a better caregiver. She ended up being the one that needed the care, but the denial they both lived in created a whole different basket, if you will. But go ahead, Dave. Did you have a question?
Well, listen, let's take a break, and then I can ask you my question. So we will be right back, so don't go away.
Okay.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Tomisa Leiden and Adrian Gruber. And Tomisa, I did share that on your page just in case you did not. And I checked it, and it is there and running. So all your friends are going to see you on the famous Caregiver Dave show.
Dave, I love your message on not just hope, but not just hope, but cope. I love it that we're all on this mission to help people thrive and not just survive. And
yep.
I give you a message there. So good job.
Well, people smarter than me helped me get that. Because I'm just the guy who owns a gas station whose wife had a stroke 22 years ago, and I have no reason why any of this happened to me, and so on.
Well, she is one lady that makes the best of the rest, I will say.
She sure does.
Joy and a delight.
She sure does. So I was going to say something, and I'm wondering if I can remember what I was going to say. What were you talking about before I went off?
So we were just talking about if I was the caregiver, and I kind of went on a tangent. So my sister was the caregiver.
I remember what it was about siblings. How many siblings do you have?
I had a brother and I have a sister. My brother passed away when he was age 27.
Oh my!
No health issues. Went to sleep and didn't wake up. So that has made me a firm believer. And you do not know if you have a tomorrow.
Right.
So plan today, love today, and enjoy today. My sister is 18 months older than I am, and she now lives in Houston, Texas. She's military wife plus a veteran, and her husband retired Air Force.
Awesome. So how involved can caregivers expect their siblings to become involved? And I would think that you would believe that sibling communication, no matter how you get along with them, and the openness is something that's very important. It's like, you know, Trump and North Korea. You know, some presidents just believe that they shouldn't speak to a despot like this guy. And even Obama says, hey, I'll talk to anybody, you know. And so should we be talking to our siblings if they are useless and are not helping us and they won't even answer our phone calls? I mean, what's your philosophy on siblings helping out with caregivers?
I probably wouldn't have equated it to what you did, but nonetheless, it is very important for all family members, whether they're estranged, no matter what the issue is, when you have a loved one that is going through some issues or is on the brink of some issues, it's time to just let the guard down on what the problems may have been that created the estrangement and communicate, because we all need to know who's on first, more or less. And it takes a whole team, not just a team of professionals to help people at this stage in life, but it takes a team within the family. So you probably will always have one leader, especially if there are boys. The female, the sister, is always going to take the lead because boys don't seem to jump right in there and help. But I have seen some exceptions to that rule, and it's great. But the matter of communicating and not letting one sibling burn out during the process is huge, and it's great. But just overall to communicate about what's going on with your loved one and how can we help. And those loved ones, my mom had Alzheimer's, but I believe she was inside there in that brain. She could just know what was going on and just had probably wished that she could communicate with us, and that she wanted to say, I know who you are, but she couldn't. So I believe within their souls, they still know what child is around, what's going on with the kids and the siblings. And one of the things we did on my mom's deathbed was say that we would always remain close and communicate with each other. And that was about when she took her last breath. So that is huge to me, for people to realize while those parents are living, get rid of the garbage that's keeping you from communicating and showing the love that your parents really want to see.
Wow, well said. Do you think that there could be a solution or at least some help for all family members prior to the need arising for a caregiver? Because it just hit me I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what a caregiver was. It wasn't on my resume.
Right.
I definitely believe there is a means of curbing the crisis, if you will. And I don't know if I coined the phrase, but I refer to the 60-40 rule. And that is when the parents are in their 60s and the kids are in their 40s, it is time to let those conversations begin, because we don't want to talk about it. We think, you know, the parents don't think they're old enough yet. The kids don't want to have the parents yelling at them saying, go away, this is none of your business. But it's time to, when maybe your health is still great at 60, but it's time to start having that conversation so that you can be a little more maybe lighthearted about it. It's not about death and dying right now. It's actually
right.
about what's going to happen if or when something happens and we have to make changes. So if you can just start early talking about it and helping your family realize what you see for your life in the next 10, 20, or 30 years, that's huge.
I mean, making your wishes known is really important.
Right.
Because your kids, as well as your kids know you, they're not mind readers.
Exactly. They're not mind readers. If you don't tell them what you want, they can't help you achieve that. And if it becomes a situation that's too late, then we, the children, have a guilt trip about what we're doing and how we're doing
it.
Because maybe that's not what they wanted.
Right.
So just communicate and share in a lighthearted way. You know, we as kids sat through the birds and the bees conversation. And so flip it and make your parents sit for the bees and the birds and just have that conversation and laugh about it, but write some things down and document who wants what and who's going to do what if the time comes so that you're not in a crisis.
That is so wise. I can't tell you how many siblings who had normal relationships now won't even talk to themselves since their parent got ill or sick or died. It just brings the worst out in people sometimes because all of the baggage that was associated with your upbringing, with that parent, you know, issues that were unresolved, no closure, it all comes to the surface now. And a lot of times they don't even know what's causing all of this strife and this stress because it's deep-seated, you know. But, yeah, I agree with what you said. Now, what would that solution be that could be the all-important for all family members, especially the party needing care? So how do you resolve the conflict, you know? Do you have a plan, or does that go beyond your scope of, hey, I'm just going to show you where your living arrangements need to be? How involved do you get and sometimes the family squabbles, you know, about half of the kids think you should sell and half the kids say, no, I was raised here. You can't sell this house, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, that I become a liaison, and I think, I hope that some of my personality and my fun lightheartedness I bring that to the table so that whoever is involved, sometimes it's just the children that call me. The adult children will call me and say, here, mom and dad this or mom that, and what can we do? So I may meet just with them and kind of give them the lay of the land of what I do from consultation to close of escrow and see how I can help them throughout that process, any parts of it or the entire, the whole concept. And sometimes I meet with the adults, the seniors themselves. And they sometimes don't want the children involved. They said, you know, we know we need to do things and this is our plan. But I try to get them all to at least have that conversation that mom, I'm talking to her about your situation. I need you involved and we want your input. If there is that person is available for input. If it's just the senior I'm talking to, I want them to talk to their kids and have them contact me or allow me to contact them and say, hey, here's what page we're on. And do you see anything different that we should be addressing?
Yeah, that makes sense. Adrian, any questions yet?
Nope. I wouldn't have had one I asked.
Are there some aspects that are a must to make the best of the rest, to use your term?
Yes, yeah. And if you don't have a plan, that is the best of the rest. That's the beginning of the best of the rest because it takes preparing in advance. It takes talking to the professionals, the elder law attorneys, the financial advisors, senior real estate specialists, caregiving, VA, Medicare, those kind of aspects of what does come next in this next chapter of life. And it is a living chapter of life. It's not the death, doom, and gloom. It's living. So get the homework done first. So make a plan. Get the facts, the figures, and the documents you need before you need them. And that way, they're put in a place where everyone knows. Communicate with your family. Let them know where these items are.
Right.
A new thing to address now that people forget is all your passwords. You have a password for everything. And if you're on Facebook and all the social medias and you don't share your password somewhere secretly that where your family can find them, you're just going to still be circulating out there. I still get LinkedIn messages to that my dad would like to link in with me. And my dad has long been gone. So it hurts. But we don't know those passwords. But making a plan, preparing in advance, letting your family know what you want, and acknowledging the safety concerns in your own home and environment, and also the social aspect. We talked about this a little bit, about people get isolated and so remote that they no longer have people to call if there's an emergency. They only have their family. And then I always just end in the word plan is to never give up that youthful heart and mind. You have got to keep dancing, laughing, playing. Just be a child. You know, they say we go into our second childhood when we get older. So just do it. Adapt to it and have fun.
You know, I wrote down all of my passwords. Here they are. You can't see them. But my gosh, there's 25 of them and counting. Every day I say,
oh yeah.
You know, I don't know how I remember all this stuff. And God forbid. I mean, you know, my mother had dementia. I hope and pray that I never did. But I guess one of the warning signs of dementia is you start forgetting your passwords.
Well,
Steve
did something that was interesting. In the last 3 weeks of his life, he began suffering dementia. And he changed the password to his bank information never told me. And he would never tell me the inside scoop because he said, you're smart enough. You'll figure it out. You've got all the instructions, blah, blah, blah. And then there was no way to get in to the computer.
And you're still not in after how many years?
No. And then one night I was going and organizing the bottom drawer on my nightstand, and on a little piece of paper, he left what I hoped was a new password, and it was.
Wow.
So you really are smart, Adrian. If my mother saw that, she'd throw it out.
No, I mean, anything was worth a shot, or I was going to have to get somebody in who was like a private investigator who
forensic guy
work on computers, you know.
Well, you know, there are elder attorneys that usually provide booklets for their clients to fill in all kinds of information, but you don't have to have an official booklet. You just need to have a journal or a composition pad, something somewhere where loved ones know where to find it. So
you have it right there. Look at that.
Yes, I have that right there. It happens to be an elder attorney that I work with here in town, and they provide that for their clients, and I think it's great. So don't just get one, fill it out.
I do have a question for you. You ask your parents, you know, like, what are your plans to make the best of the rest, whatever, and the conversation is fine, and nobody's sick, and everybody, you know, it's not a high pressure conversation, but your parents may want to retire someplace or move someplace in particular that's not available at the time that they end up needing it. So how do you agree on what to do if you can't fulfill their wishes?
Well, usually I would get probably three choices, especially if they're moving into one of the independent communities or an assisted living, will fill up. And so if they are in an environment, in a location that they want to live nearby original space, because maybe their friends are still there and they're just acquainted with the area, then you should probably get about three choices. And you know that if you start noticing, every time holidays especially, people should be getting together and being very observant of what mom and dad or what's changed. And those are the best times. And then maybe revisit the conversation. Because you can sit down as a family and lightheartedly kind of say, hey, in 10 years, this is what I would like to see. And if you can help me accommodate that, that's great. But let everybody put their input in. And I always say to the parents, let your children put some input too, because they may have some ideas you haven't even thought of, and vice versa. So it can't just be dictated by all parties. You just kind of throw some stuff out there and say, hey, I would really like to see this for me. And if we can't get in that, I would like to do this. So give some options. And then ever so often, visit that cheat sheet or whatever you design it to be in your book. Visit that and update it and say, hey, do we need to adjust this, that, or the other? You know, maybe there are new places around. Maybe there are smaller patio homes that they want to be involved in and not an independent community. So just update as needed, especially if there are health issues. But even if there are not health issues, it's critical. But one of my saddest moments was trying to downsize my folks' stuff. I am not and should not be responsible for saying what they got to keep and what I have to learn. If parents, and even myself, I'm 65, I should be doing this for my kids too. I don't want them to have to come in and disperse my stuff and have a guilt trip about it. My folks were military, they traveled, they got stuff and bought stuff from all over the place. Everything had a story. And I might not have known the story, but if I'm discarding it, it broke my heart to think. And I still get teary-eyed when I think about the things I got rid of that maybe was part of their story and their essence. So that's part of what I do with people, is try to capture their essence, even if it's in the big home. So we identify those things. Maybe I help them make the list for their kids. Or maybe I talk to the baby boomers and help them make the list. Even though they're working with their parents, they still have kids that are creeping up and having to probably deal with this as well. So it goes both directions. And baby boomers are probably the ones to really be addressing this now for themselves.
Yeah, got it.
And getting back to those passwords, you know, there's a service out there, and I just don't trust them. I'm sure. Give somebody or something all of my passwords and hope that they're never going to get hacked into. I'm not going to do
that.
My little thing in my filing cabinet, and you know, you write it in code and encrypt it.
Your loved ones can't
even figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we don't trust as much as we should, but
someone's getting hacked. That's why I just love these cars and these driverless Uber drivers and these driverless cars and driverless buses, because if you want to take someone out, you can hack anything, even a car.
Right.
But tell me about your book. What's the title of it?
Well, you touched base on it. It is Smart Living for Seniors, How to Make the Best of the Rest.
Basically, thought that was just your saying, yes.
It is. It basically tells my story and why I wanted to help others to not have to deal with what I dealt with and my sister and I had to deal with. But
That looks like a workbook.
And it could be a workbook. It will talk about the team that you might need to have in place, the basic team for getting things aligned for a plan. And then for those people that are starting to downsize or think about it, no one wants to do it and they don't know where to start. So it kind of gives you a step-by-step of, you know, start small, do one drawer at a time, one closet at a time, never work more than 3 hours at a time because you get overwhelmed. You know, if it's an item that is going to be cumbersome and too big and really needs to go to someone else, take a picture of it, record the memory of it, even do a video with it, and send it on its way. But don't clutter your own space and share it with someone else. If there are things in your home that are identified for kids or loved ones or other family members, go ahead and give it to them while you're alive so you can enjoy them enjoying it. And that helps you to downsize a little bit easier because you're not just feeling like you're throwing your life away.
Right.
You're sharing. Well,
that's for sure.
I see a little clutter in your office there, Dave, so we probably should address
that. That's not clutter. That is purposeful, eclectic collector stuff.
Memorabilia.
There you have it.
Glad you're not looking at the other side of the garage.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the
neat side.
You're looking at the neat side. What's going on the desk?
I used to have a black velvet thing behind me so that all you saw was black, which, you know, looked very professional.
Yeah, that's cool.
But then some people say, oh, no, people want to see your personality. They want to see where you are. They want to see behind you. You agree?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. You need some personality to come through.
Yeah, but you just accused me of being unorganized. What fun is that?
Well, you know, you got a lot back there, so I don't know when you're ready to downsize. You've got the attic open, so I don't know.
You want to hear something funny? I paid an organizer a few $100s to get it down to this.
Oh, well, good. See,
yeah.
You did the first step. Sometimes it takes.
And you can probably see there's a top shelf, which a lot of the little knickknacks and paddywhacks and all the stuff that you should throw away, but you don't want to. They all have a story. So they're all up on this top shelf up there, out of the way, you know, just being dusted. And every time the door closes, another one drops to its death. So I got to figure out what to do about that.
Well, just don't leave it all for your kids. That's tough.
Believe me, my wife has got both attics full, and she's just now starting to sift through it. Because she knows, and I know, that if she's gone, it's all going in the trash. You know, these kids don't want, you know, the my daughter's first dress that she wore when she was, you know, two or whatever, and the shoes, and just, you know, they're just not collectors these
days. That's there for your wife.
And the dolls. I can't tell you how many dolls are up there.
You know?
The dolls that were popular in the 70s are probably worth a lot of money now, you know, the Care Bears and the, I don't even remember the names of them, but they all had a name, you know, and you adopted some. And oh, my gosh, don't get me started on that.
One of the things I share with the seniors, especially when I'm doing the first assessment with the senior, and they're talking about, well, my daughter getting this, the grandkids getting that. And they go through this and just point and, you know, and just realize or think that they can't get rid of anything. And I always tell them, I don't want to be the one to inform you, but I want to alert you to the fact that your kids really don't want anything. And so when the kids do show up and they get that information from the kids, they'll always call me and say, you know, you were right. Thanks for, like, setting me up for it, because it really breaks their heart, because they've been saving and transporting and moving this stuff for years so they can give it to their kids. And their kids really don't want it. And the grandkids definitely don't, because they're that millennial that, you know, they're minimizing everything. So
they have, you know, they don't have the wherewithal financially to take all that stuff and keep it someplace.
Storage costs money.
Storage
and
costs
on that
money.
On that junky note, we're going to take another break. So don't go away. We will be right back.
Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book, entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Tomisa Leiden, downsizing experts. Oh, Tomisa, let me ask you a question. How can families avoid managing, you know, when they go into crisis mode, like putting fires out, danger, Will Robinson? You know, I just realized, by the way, about the Danger Will Robinson thing. I thought that people would not know what that meant, because Lost in Space was off the air like 30 or 40 years ago, but I guess it's a new Lost in Space out now.
Yeah, I think they
heard. And they're saying danger will. So a whole new generation will know what that means. I don't feel so old.
I don't know what it means.
Really?
I'm in the middle. I don't know.
Middle. Wow. You don't watch television, right?
I watch a lot of television, but I never got into Lost in Space.
It just means danger, Will Robinson. Danger is about to, and usually, yeah. You know, it's not just danger. It's like, oh, my God, the big monster is going to just eat him in one bite. And so when we're doing things like I'm investing in a property in 2008, just before the market crashes, I should have heard that word, danger, Will Robinson. You will be sorry.
I gotcha.
Is that pretty accurate to me, Sam?
That's pretty accurate, yeah. Well, that's where the plan comes into place, and it's so important to have that early on and adjust as needed. But I will tell you, if you just start with a conversation and then create that plan as it's needed, you bring in the professionals that you need if you haven't spoken to them already. But the crisis is there if nothing's written down. We just avoid thinking that we're not going to be here forever. We don't want to think about death and dying.
Right.
And I don't talk about death and dying. That's why I call it the next living chapter of life. So how do I want to live this next chapter without talking about dying? There are those things you have to address, no doubt. But parents don't like to feel like they're being put out to pasture. And that's when kids initiate that conversation first. That's how the parent feels. So if the parent would be bold enough to initiate it and realize that they're not really losing their independence when they're, I call it smart sizing, whether you're going to a smaller home or a community, they're not really losing their independence. They're gaining a lot of freedom. And I really do put that on the parent to bring that up, or at least open the door for those conversations, because they're the ones that are going to create the crisis for their kids to have to deal with. And most parents are always saying, like mine were, they didn't want me to have to do anything. They didn't want to bother me, that I can take care of myself. But what happens is you think you're taking care of yourself, but you're in this denial that things are going to happen or could happen down the road, and we haven't addressed it. So you've created more headache or heartbreak or trauma within the cycle of that next chapter. So it's just important to have the parents really be open to have that conversation. And I spoke at a Rotary Club the other day, and there was a gentleman who has a 92, 93-year-old mom and dad, and they just won't talk about it. Now, I get it, but you've got to address it, because that's where the crisis comes in. And you can avoid that so many times, but you smart size first. I mean, you plan first, then you smart size. And then when that time comes, it's like clockwork, and people get to go through the motions and be able to grieve in a real way, instead of having to be so overwhelmed with now their stuff and your stuff.
Well, let me, if you've got, this person had parents who were 92 and 93. It's a little late to have an early conversation and plan ahead.
No, exactly. They can't plan ahead. That's why I'm saying this couple, this family has ignored it all along.
Right.
And every time the child does bring it up, the parents are in denial. I don't know how at that age you get them out of denial. It is going to have to be a crisis for somebody, because unless that adult child, who is probably in their 70s, I think this gentleman was, he's got to start chipping away at things without them really realizing it, as he's there, you know, on a holiday or just a visit, you know, start kind of, you know, just talking about, hey, I'm going to take this home with me, or whatever has to take place then. But that's why when you start younger, it's easier. There's some of that is a generational thing. That age bracket of parent, they've gone through depression, or their depression era-ish babies, and it's really hard for them to trust even kids to take over the finances and that kind of thing. But You just have to chip away at it. But the younger you start it, the better, because it's kind of a lightheartedness. I mean, I could talk about it with my kids now because it's like, I don't see myself, you know, doom and gloom. I'm still like active and spry. So let's talk about it.
Right.
You guys know what to do if something happens. But as you get older, it gets tougher.
I didn't even realize you were saying smart size instead of downsize. That's a great word.
Yes. Well,
it's,
you know,
less
down
negative.
Is down. Down is something that's a downer. And to me, I don't want to talk about anything that's a downer. So we're talking about smart sizing because that's uplifting. It is smart to do that.
We have about 5 minutes to go. So real quickly, my last two questions. What words of advice for families and especially the adult children of seniors, you know? There's such a temptation to do that role reversal where you start acting parental and others, your parents are starting acting like six-year-olds. And I've heard a lot of people say now, no, don't do that. Resist the temptation to do that. Who wants, as a parent, to be treated like a child? You know, nobody does. So what's the alternative for not doing that when clearly it's happening?
I totally agree with that. You are never the parent. And they're the child. You are always the child, and they are always the parent.
So even if it feels like it.
If it feels like it. And sometimes when your parent has dementia, they are in more childlike than not. And you have to remain the child and just offer suggestions. You're not dictating. You're not giving advice. My dad was advice, advice, advice. And I swore I'd never give my kids advice. If they asked for it, I would give it, but I wouldn't impose it upon them. Mm-hmm. So when you are the adult child and you are coming at them with this imposed advice, they get a little, you know, they stand off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the frustration begins. So you just have to remain mentally the child and suggest or make comments about, you know, I noticed this. Or maybe bring in another couple of kids that your friends, your age, that their parents might be doing, and let it just, you know, maybe brew in the mind of the parents that, you know what, I'm kind of there too. But it is open communication, communicate, communicate, communicate.
Yeah. Somebody actually did a study, and most parents who were being treated like children, their number one complaint to their children was, I am not a child, treat me and speak to me with respect. And there's a difference between, I have a gas station, I always tell the story about someone coming inside and their obvious demented father came in, followed them, and he didn't realize they did. And, Dad, I thought I told you to stay in the car. God, you do this every single time. And just with a store full of people humiliating this man, if he's even capable of being humiliated. But the point is, I think he humiliated himself.
Mm-hmm.
And his little boy was there watching and listening. And guess how that little boy is going to treat his father when he has to walk him in by the hand and tell him to stay in the car when he goes and gets some gas.
Yeah, it's going to come back to haunt him for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cats in the cradle.
Take your position and maintain it.
Absolutely. And are there any mistakes that families should avoid when helping a parent relocate if necessary? You know, what are the do not do this, Danger Will Robinson?
Do not do it without a plan. Do not. Confucius say, never move without plan.
Yeah, but some people come up with their own plan and it's a stupid plan.
It is, but you can get and ask for help. Ask for help, but do have a plan. That if you do it without a plan, you could be setting yourself up for injury, all kinds of accidents. So
can
it's
people
not
call you up with their stupid plans to see, you know, passing by you, and you say, no, don't do that. Do they have the freedom to call you no matter where they live in the country?
They have the freedom to call me no matter where they live, and I can help them through assessing some things, consultation, from consultation to close of escrow, no matter where you live across the country, because they have people in all states. So.
Okay. And if they need a lot of work, you know, you can tell them what your rates are if they need, like, heavy-duty coaching because nobody ever did it, and they know they need it. So
it's all a process to keep from being overwhelmed.
Give us your contact information.
Okay. My phone number is 480-375-1974. You can go to my website.
I see Adrian writing that number down.
You can go to my website, which is Lydon, L-Y-D-O-N, seniorpathways.com. Hey. Oh, she got a phone call. It's not me. She's not calling me. But the website is Lydon, L-Y-D-O-N, seniorpathways.com. And I love to talk with anybody. The book is on Amazon, so go there, get a copy, check it out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to come on, first of all, because
you know
we've met each other, and I've tried to get you on before, and you said, "Oh, I don't think I can. I have anything to offer caregivers." Oh, yes, you do.
Well, caregivers' life can be easier also if they think about moving out of the big home so that they can afford, because their biggest asset is the home.
Their lives are intertwined. You know, the caregiver and the care receiver. You know, what happens to one happens to the other.
But
I can't believe how.
Time for themselves. So if you need to hire a caregiver to take your place, then you might need a smaller asset so you can have the funds from a larger home.
Well, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. So, Adrian, are you still on the phone?
I am. I'm off the phone.
Okay. Yeah. Give your contact information if people want to find out more about the caregiver space and all of your groups that you've got on Facebook.
Well, briefly, it's just Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E. At thecaregiverspace.org, and the website's thecaregiverspace.org, and then all the social media is at the bottom of the home page, so the links are there.
Well, Tomisa and Adrian, thank you so much for being on the show, and all of you listeners out there, and for all those who did not call in, maybe next time, thank you, and God bless you, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.